You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome everyone to another episode of Lean Local. Now, this is the show that does what it says, and we lean local. What's going on here locally? And it's not to say we're not concerned about what's going on internationally, nationally. We watch the news, and the news is covered very well at those levels. But there's just a lot going on here locally that I think we need to talk about on this program and hear what's going on. They may get a headline in the paper or a headline on TV, but we're going to dig a little deeper here. And one of the subjects that, and you've been emailing me, and I appreciate that, that you want to learn more about is the prison that we have here, really the Green Bay Correctional Institution in Alloway. And it's something that, I know it's been there for 100 years, and everybody knows where it is, but there's a lot of talk now about potentially, I don't know if it's the word it's closing or relocating, but we're going to learn a lot more about that. Our in-house guest today is Jim Rafter. Jim's been on here before. He's the president of the Village of Alloway. He ran for state senate, tough race, came up a little bit short, but he is, as I said to him in the lobby when we were talking, you're kind of the face of this prison thing now, and I think you took an interest in it when you were you're still president of the Village of Alloway. Through the campaign, you talked about it, and you're still passionate about it. And welcome to Lean Local.
Thanks, Jim.
And I'm, I want to hear, you've made some progress in the last, I don't know, 6 weeks, huh?
We have, and I'm very excited about it, cautiously optimistic, but the governor has proposed closing GBCI in the upcoming budget. There's lots of things that need to happen in order for GBCI to be closed, but I'm very thankful and very excited that we now have both sides of the aisle, everyone who should be aware of what needs to be done, they're acknowledging that GBCI needs to be closed.
Let me ask you why. I mean, the prisoners are still going to be there. We're still going to have 1,000 people that need to be, in my opinion, locked up. And I've been through there many times. I'm sure you have too. On tours. I've never spent time there. Okay, I want to clarify that. But what happens to the residents?
Well, I think that's going to depend on the details. Governor Evers wants to turn Stanley into a new maximum security prison, which is where most of the prisoners in GBCI would go. Stanley is currently a medium security prison, and a lot of those inmates would go to Waupun, which will now be a medium security prison. And he wants to close Lincoln Hills and the teen women's prison to open up, I think, 500 beds or so. And then he wants to expand the early release program for low-level nonviolent offenders so that they can go through some training, hands-on training, and then they can get an early release. So that will, as I understand, release about 700 people into the system.
So you're moving some furniture around.
Moving furniture.
The guys, those are all men.
Yep.
Those are some bad dudes. They are not eligible for early release.
They would not think so.
Okay. I think there's some people that are concerned, where are they going to go, right? Yep. And rightfully so, but it sounds like he's going to be changing some things throughout the state. Yep. I thought there was talk one time, Jim, about building a new facility in the county, like I think Kewaunee. I mean, we got a lot of land in this neck of the woods.
There's a lot of land. There were several communities interested in a new prison.
And I just want to clarify, you know why?
Yep.
It's jobs.
It's jobs. Yep.
it's construction jobs for to build the facility, but it is jobs for the people who work there. And I've been reading, they get paid okay.
They are getting paid okay. It went from $16 an hour, I think, to $32 an hour. And then in maximum security prisons with high levels of vacancy, it's even more, much like GBCI and Waupun. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't want to do it for any money, but and I give a great deal of respect and thanks to people who do.
Who work there.
Who work there, absolutely.
I don't want to lose this thought, though. Mm-hmm. If you were the mayor of Kewaunee or the county executive, would you look at bringing a prison in? I mean, you've managed a prison now for, what, 15 years you've been in Alloway?
Yeah.
Is that a good business, but this one's not working? You see, what I'm trying to get at is, why are we tearing it down?
We're closing it because it's 128 years old. Back in 2009, there were about $100 million worth of upgrades needed to the infrastructure to just bring it up to code. Mm-hmm. Several of the buildings on that property are closed because they can't do anything with them. The cell halls are no longer designed the way that prisons are designed today. It's dangerous. Most years, it's the most dangerous prison in the state of Wisconsin based on inmate on staff assaults. It's a dangerous place to work. So,
new prison would have a new design.
A new prison would have a new design, and people don't like the term prison. Some people don't. I would say call it anything you want, but we need to have a place, a facility, to have people who have committed major crimes to go be separated from the community, get the training, the counseling, the addiction counseling that they need, because 90% of those guys are coming back into our community. And if we need to do everything we can to make sure they come back into our community better versions of themselves than when they went in. And that's what a new, better facility could do.
Okay. So we're not closing it because of lack of customers.
No. We have an overabundance of customers.
Right. And they have to be housed. We both agree with that. I understand there's this judicial reform and social justice, but I think that's for the lower level, which I don't know enough about that to speak on it. I guess what I was thinking that we were going to build another facility in our county to keep the jobs, but we're not. The way it looks like it's going to, like the way the cards are going to fall, it's just going to be kind of a relocation of prison and utilizing some other assets in the state.
It may be, and I think there's some merit to that. If you can use existing facilities, close Green Bay. They're putting a lot of money, a couple hundred million dollars into Waupun to make it a medium security, build new cell halls. If you can make those upgrades cheaper than and as effectively as building a new facility, it's good stewardship. The question remains, what are you going to do with the low-level offenders? And I think that's where you're going to get a lot of rub at the state legislative layer.
So the timeline, was it 4 years? Is that what he...
Governor Evers said we can close GBCI by 2029, 4 years.
Okay. Then what? I mean, really, then what, Jim? Yeah. You've got a facility that, I don't know, are you going to repurpose it? I was talking to some people and they told them you're coming on the show today. Alcatraz. Kyle, you're too young. Alcatraz is right out 2 miles from San Francisco. Those prisoners had the best view in the country. I mean, they used to open it up. It was a tourist thing. And we ran a 5K through there, right in these cells. And it was, I don't know, I guess they didn't make any money it could still be, it still probably is a federal park. But it has so much history to it. You know, some of it's a little bit embellished. You know, those guys that caught by the sharks. There's no sharks out there, but it was a good story. Mm-hmm. But I think, the maintenance on that thing was, it was $10 per person versus $3 in some other prisons. So it was very, very expensive to maintain.
Yep.
Have you thought about that, or is your goal just let's get this thing closed?
We have very much thought about this. Back in 2018, we had a visioning process, and we created a vision for that property from Webster down to the Fox River. It's 60 acres of what I would argue to be some of the most valuable property in Brown County for redevelopment. And it is a mixture of corporate, residential, retail, entertainment. It would create a village within a village. And if you look at Green Bay, it would complement what's going on in other parts of our community, whether it be downtown, whether it be Titletown, and then you'd have us down in Alloway. And it's all about creating a place where people want to raise their families and live. And a development, and you can see it on our website in the village of Alloway, it would generate currently about $300 million in new taxable property. And when you're looking at, that's about $2 million a year for the village of Alloway. That's a lot of money when our current income is $6 million. So it's increasing our tax levy by $2 million without putting that on the shoulders of our current residents, which is a good thing.
And as the president of the village of Alloway, you need to grow.
We do.
And you're a little bit landlocked, 4 square miles.
Yep.
That would help.
It would help a great deal. 30% of Alloway is not taxable, tax exempt because of parks, churches, cemeteries. 10% of the village is in the Fox River. That doesn't help. So we have very limited space, and so we have to redevelop as opposed to expand.
Okay. We got to go to a quick break, but this is what I want to talk to you about after the break. You've worked very hard to get this closed, and that was not easy.
Nope.
And I don't know, 5 years you've been working on it?
Eight
years. I'm concerned that you, what makes you think the state is going to give you that land? I mean, it's their land.
We can talk about that after the break.
Okay, thanks for sticking around. All right, this is Lean Local, Jim Schmidt, president of Village of Alloway, Jim Rafter. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Everyone, Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, in-house guest Jim Rafter, president of the Village of Alloway, and as I said earlier, the face of the Green Bay Correctional Institute that is going to be closed as the governor proposed in his budget. And Jim's been working on this for 8 years as the village president of Alloway, and we're kind of talking about if it does close, what's next. Before we do, Jim, like everything, we have advertisers and sponsors, and the sponsor for this episode is Nicolet Bank. And friends of mine, friends of the community, just a great bank, 57 locations throughout Northeast Wisconsin, some in Minnesota, Michigan. And they just are, they're what businesses should aspire to be. They're just good people that take care of their customers. And I've always liked their management, Bob Atwell and Mike Daniels and the whole crew up there. But when those guys said, we're going to be a community-minded bank, I mean, they really put up. They did. They had the City Deck, and I'm sure they do things in your community.
Yep, they do.
It's just...
it's a great organization.
We're lucky to have them. And I just want to encourage people that when you're looking to borrow money or save money, Nicolet is the place to go. And so I want to thank them for sponsoring Lean Local. Hey, before we went to break, kind of a two-step process. One is let's get this closed. And it seems like that is going to happen. But then what's next? And I think there's two questions on there. One is that is the state's land.
Correct.
And I don't know that they, I don't know, I haven't talked to them. They may not have an appetite to give that to you.
They may not.
And someone may come up with, well, it's state land. Let's put a state facility there. Not the DNR, but, you know, a state hospital, a state technical college, a state. The state has a lot of different areas. But you are confident you can propose something better or you can buy it. Or what do you think is going to happen once it is closed?
There was a budget bill proposed by Representative David Steffen in the last budget to transfer the property to Alloway once the prison was closed for a dollar for economic development.
What if I outbid you?
Purposes.
Okay, all right. Okay.
You'd have to have tens of millions of dollars to clean it up.
Right. So that's in the works.
It has been proposed, and those are conversations we've had with the administration. We've made it very clear about our goal and our need and the opportunity to just help once again Northeast Wisconsin become a place where families want to raise their families.
Is there any part of that? It is old. It's, you know, and history is, yep. I think Green Bay, I guess the United States, but Green Bay, tears things down, and I don't think they should. I got to be honest with you. I mean, we fought like hell just to save the Northland Hotel. That was not, that should have been a no-brainer. We tore down our city hall, which was, I think, a huge mistake. And this is a little bit different in that it's not functional anymore. I mean, even renovations, it's not going to be functional. The design has been different. Is there anything in the proposal that you would actually save a piece of that or honor the...
Absolutely. First of all, Alloway's tagline is historically progressive, and I don't think there's a better example of that in repurposing what we can of the prison. First of all, that main building, the big building that you see along Riverside Drive, is on the Register of Historic Places. Therefore, we have to keep it or do everything we can to keep it. But there are examples throughout the world of turning prisons into tourist attractions, hotels, restaurants, markets, all kinds of things, mm-hmm. and whole communities built around them. The wall that surrounds the property is also on the Register of Historic Places. That wall it does not look very good if you've driven past, but you can repurpose that. They just want parts of it to stay. So I think to give a nod to history, we can definitely use that wall, do some artful things with it, transform the front buildings, the cell halls, into something that will work, and build a community around that has retail and entertainment and bring people together. It's about bringing community together.
And you said earlier, you look at a tax base of close to $300 million.
Yeah, back in 2018, I think it was identified to be about $150 million. And if you follow any construction costs today, since 2018, they've skyrocketed.
Right.
So I have no doubt that property would generate $300 million.
So if people, is it at a standstill now? Is there something people can do to help, to get involved? I really wanted to get you on here because people were asking, hey, what's going on with the prison? I said, you know, I think it's going to close. I mean, mm-hmm. like I said, it's been talked about for many, many years, and it sure sounds like it. But then what's next? And I think you're addressing that. Has there been any other proposals made, or do they really think the village is going to control the next step once it does close?
That's our hope. And be careful what you ask for. But I believe that's the right way to go. It gives us the opportunity to work with developers and bring what into our community, what we believe we need in our community. I also expect it will be a partnership in some way, shape, or form between the state and the village and developers. Whatever we can do to get something very special, and we have a vision for that, if we can bring that to life, we'll accept all help and figure out how to get forward. But as soon as they say we're going to close that prison, we'll start working.
And I want to go back to something you said, and I hope I heard it right. You're going to preserve that whole front of that? I mean, that is awesome.
The vision is, yes.
Okay, that's cool.
Yep. The oak trees in front of that building are the oldest oak planted oak trees in the state of Wisconsin.
There you go.
About 110 years old.
And we need to preserve history because that, like it or not, that kind of got us where we are. That was part of our community, and we have to respect that. And I think sometimes we tear things down, and it's like, you tell somebody about it, they're like, really? Really? It's like, yeah, really. That did happen there, so I'm glad you're doing some of that. Hey, you're the village president of Alloway. A couple other questions. How are things going in your village?
They are going great. We are doing what we can with the land we have to redevelop it. We're working on development right now at St. Joseph and Webster, a mixed use where Gallagher's Pizza used to be.
Oh, yeah.
Strip mall. We purchased that a couple of years ago, and we're going to be building a multi-story first floor commercial, two or three or four stories residential to really anchor the south side of our business district, if you will, or our village district, and then it'll probably go all the way up to Zambaldi's.
Is Alloway Avenue repair part of that?
It's the second question I got today on that.
Oh, I was thinking you'd say it's the second roller coaster. No.
We're working on it.
I know you
We're
are.
We're working on it.
Look, roads are always something that keep a hard time on. Hey, thanks for coming in, Jim. This is great. And we're going to keep tabs on you. I want to bring you back here. Like I said, whether you like it or not, I do think you are the face of this redevelopment property with the Correctional Institute. And you've been working on it for 8 years. You probably got another 8 years to go, but we appreciate your effort.
Well, thanks.
All right.
So much.
Thanks for listening. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor, Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to Lean Local. Really just a hot topic, this Green Bay Correctional Institute, GBCI, and the governor said, yeah, I guess we should close it. Still have some concerns on, doesn't mean the prisoners are all going to be altar boys, you know? I mean, where are they going to go? And I know there's some shuffling going on, but, you know, these politicians are weighing in on this, and rightfully so, and social justice committees are weighing in on this, rightfully so, but I got a guy in studio here, a friend of mine that spent 27 years working in that prison. And I think so often we have people from the outside weighing in on decisions. And as you learn in some of these business classes, get out to the front line. Talk to those people. They know what's going on. Joe, I appreciate you coming in here. Joe Vertigan, you're retired now, but welcome to Lean Local.
Hey, thanks. Glad to be on your show now. I've been on with you and Mino, and I'm glad to hear you've got your own deal going on here, too. This is good.
Well, I get great guests.
That's cool.
So what do you think? Is this a surprise to you that this is coming up now and we're going to be closing that potentially?
Yeah, not really. To be honest, I started in October of 1993, and the truth be told, they were already talking about in earnest about closing the prison back then. So this This has been a political football that's been kicked down the road for decades. And truth be told, both political parties are kind of guilty of it. More so the bureaucrats in Madison who the wardens nowadays of all the prisons, and there's some good people at Green Bay, still are. They're kind of hamstrung in terms of the day-to-day decisions, making policy and that kind of thing. So trust me when I say Madison's calling the shots, and many of the wardens are kind of like the puppets, and Madison's pulling the strings in most cases. I mean, that's kind of what's going on.
And I don't really like when decisions are made further and further away.
Right.
Yeah, on levels, or this one is both levels and geography. Why? I mean, why is this out of Madison and not out of right here with control in Green Bay?
You know, I'm not sure, but I in the near 27 years I worked there, I had 8 different wardens work for me, and one of them was Dan Bertrand, God rest his soul. He was a good man. I dedicated my book, The Reformatory, to Dan. And Dan told me, and the stories are in here, that he said, Joel, once Madison, and he was like early 2000s, mid-2000s, he goes, when Madison started telling me how I could run my prison, he says, I knew it was time for me to leave. Yeah. So a lot of these wardens, again, they're hamstrung and they get frustrated, you know?
So, yeah, I think 8 in 27, that's too much turnover. And, you know, you have to have some stability. But, Joe, you know, I'm not sure exactly why we're closing the prison. I just want to say that I think first it's like, wait a minute, that 56 acres of land could be a hell of a lot better use for tax base, housing,
yes,
restaurants, whatever. But then it kind of shifted like it's unsafe. And then I think they got a little bit more momentum when they went with that. Is it?
I can tell you this. Now, I retired in June of 2020, but I worked the front lines most of my time there. It's old and outdated, but what they're not telling the taxpayers is they've dumped it, to my knowledge. Now, I don't know the exact numbers, but in the last 4 or 5 years, I know it was like over $30 million in building a new processing building, like for the visiting center. They upgraded plumbing in both cell halls. The segregation unit now, they built that in 2000, but that was all computerized essentially. So, you know, it's hard to say. I know the village of Alloway would definitely want that land for tax purposes or what have you, the tax revenue. But, you know, there's a part of that that's on the National Historic Registry, and that, you know, that may hamper or limit what development they may want to do in any ways. The problem is, too, one of the other things that's happened there, which I was not in agreement with, they used to have some really good vocational programs there, and it was a lot of these people out of Madison that never stepped foot in a prison in their life that axed all these vocational programs. I'm no bleeding heart, but those programs did work for the offenders. Yeah. Yeah, for the offenders who did not have life or whatever, they would take these programs, learn skills, and they would become productive members of society. That's just another example of you can't let Madison call the shots, you know?
And how great that would be to have some vocations in there. I just remember, Joe, I would tell you, this is a long time ago, 2005, 2006, but we were redoing some of our parks, and we went through there, and they were making these unbelievable, like, bird baths.
Got 2 of them at my place up north, yeah. Oh, yeah, we got them basically for the cost of materials, but the inmates would make those, and it was a good masonry program.
Oh, yeah.
They had that. That's one program they kept when I was still there.
Oh, they did. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, that was one good example. A lot of guys would get jobs as bricklayers, and they get out. They used to have, a printing shop, and obviously with the digital age we're in, that changes. Yeah. But there's so much more they could be doing there in terms of the vocational. And it was always the bureaucrats in Madison that just gonged a lot of those programs. When you have inmate deaths and bad things happening in the prison, most of the time it's because these inmates have nothing to do, whether they should be in school or working. And in the 90s into the 2000s, there was a lot of jobs available in there. And you had very, very few problems. Like, unlike, you know, the inmate and inmate deaths, unfortunately, that you've seen the last few years, we didn't really have a lot of that back then.
And you think it's because, you know, there weren't idle hands.
That's exactly what it is. That's a big part of it. It really is. Yeah.
I remember, and I think Bill was the warden there. Good guy.
Bill Pollard. Yeah, he was.
A good guy. And I was like, wow, these bird feeders are awesome. We could use 2 of these in this park and 1 in this park. I said, can they come out and install them? He goes, that ain't going to happen.
Yeah, right. So, the guys from Sanger B could do it maybe, but
when you look at safety comes up, and I want to talk to you. I mean, 27 years on the front line, and probably nobody better than to talk. Is it unsafe? And here's what I want to ask. I was on the county board, 97, 98. And we built a new jail, and it said pods are better, cheaper, safer than this linear, like you have there. You got these little cells and kind of big guys in some of those smaller cells. But is that an issue?
I'll give you a prime example. I worked for 8 years in the North Cell Hall, which is the oldest cell hall that was built in 1898. I was the extra, which means I'm like second in command of the sergeant who runs the block. About halfway through my tenure in that block, they built a cage, like they hardened it. So instead of using old-fashioned Folger Adams keys to open the cell doors, everything was by computer. There's good and bad with that. Is it safer for staff? Potentially, yes. But what happens then when you're locked in a cage, an inmate comes down to the cage to address something with you, when there's a barrier there, that sometimes creates hostility. Mm-hmm. If myself or the sergeant have to tell an inmate, you know, some news he may not like, that creates hostility, where before that cage was there, I'd be up on the tiers with the keys and, you know, I could talk face to face with the inmates. Got to remember too, these guys, they're human beings too, you know what I mean, to a point. But, you know, but at the same time, they're not in there for missing Sunday school. And I think sometimes the local media, they get a little bamboozled when I see inmates, you know, they'll put a picture of them on there and some phone recording of them talking. You know, you can't be bamboozled by that. There's a lot of guys in there that are in there for doing some not so good things. And sometimes we lose sight of that. You know, it's a maximum security prison.
So I think there's a lot of talk. I want to ask you about this, but I want to get back to the safety thing in a second. But there's a lot of talk that a lot of people don't need to be there.
You know, that's a good question. So a lot of the offenders we had at Green Bay, there was murder, rapist, robbery, battery. There were some drug offenses, but most of the time, like your multiple OWI offenders, for example, we usually wound up in a medium security or minimum. Green Bay is obviously max.
Right.
Whether, you know, as far as Green Bay goes, boy, I'd be hard pressed. I mean, because these guys, a lot of these times, it wasn't their first time getting in trouble. It was their fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh time running. And yeah, again, they're not in there for missing Sunday school.
Right.
So but if it was a medium, it'd be maybe a little different, you know?
And I think, again, I'm learning more about this. Is, you know, I don't know, have near the knowledge you do, but what I'm reading is that they, moving some of this furniture around, they may let some of the lesser crime people out a little bit earlier and then.
Sure.
But I don't think there's a lot of talk about letting the real bad guys out.
Yeah, I would hope not. Right. Again, if an offender has had, you know, had a great track record in maximum, they get busted down to a medium like at Oshkosh or Red Granite or other prisons, or even minimum, then I wouldn't have a problem with it. But to let them right from the streets from Green Bay, doubtful it's going to happen.
What the salaries? I don't really talk so much about the salaries, just the getting the employees. It seemed like it's a struggle. And again, you know, the few times I've been through there, it seemed like an all right place to work. I got to admit, now they're probably taking me to areas that were worth showing. But working for the state it's a good career. It can be a good career.
Yes.
There's decent health care, pretty good pension. And yet, what, 40%?
Yeah, well, the thing is, I left a career. I worked in radio news for 3 years. Loved my job, didn't get rich doing it. I started in 1993. It was $8.76 an hour. But the pension, you get a lot of vacation right off the bat. And at the time, we got some. It was incredible, like 16 paid sick days a year, which is more than you usually even need.
Oh, yeah.
But I made that switch for benefits for my family. So, you know, you're working. But when you sign up for that, you know you're going to work holidays. You know you're going to work nights. You're going to work some double shifts. And there's that expectation is there. Even with the starting pay at $41 an hour now, what it is for the max with the add-on, it's still the clientele you're dealing with. And it's almost like we've softened them so much. It's been more of a social working kind of thing.
Softened who?
On the inmates. It's like we got to tuck them in and tell them a bedtime story, kind of per se. And I get the mental health part of it. That's a big part of it, too. When I got out of it in 2020, there was a lot of mental health issues. For example, inmates before in the 90s or early 2000s would come up and they would talk to us and we would help them. They had more coping skills. That's a good way to put it. Mm-hmm. Now, if they don't get their way, they're going to slash your arm and now there's blood. And guess what? Now you got to send two or three staff members with this offender to St. Mary's or St. Vincent's, and those costs escalate. And when those three are out on a visit or a vigil with an inmate, That means when the shift comes around, then they got to jam three more people for overtime. And it just snowballs like that. That's just one example of how things work there. And the inmates, by and large, coming in now, they don't have very good coping skills at all. And the mental illness thing is real. But, you know, how do you deal with that? A lot of staff, old school staff, myself, we weren't trained to deal with that kind of thing. So I don't know if it's improved now with the newer staff. It's hard to say. But that it's an issue. You know, it really is.
That's an old prison, right? I think it's 110.
1898, I think you built it. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. But I live, my house is older than that.
Right.
And I think you can maintain old buildings.
Yes.
I'm not going to doubt the expensive, but I want to talk about the design again.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I actually been through Alcatraz a number of times as a tourist, not to visit anyone, but
right.
Again, that's not dissimilar, right? Just
right.
These cells.
Oh, yeah.
Are the new designs better for, you hear about, oh God, a new design would be awesome because it's safer for the people like you, it's safer for the inmates. Is that?
Yes and no. I mean, maybe a little bit. Like I said, my example in the North Cell Hall before, I was way out in the open when we were releasing, you know, 350 inmates for breakfast, for example. But now we're in a hardened cage. But then when you have that barrier, then the inmates can talk a little more smack, and it can kind of escalate things,
right.
You know, in a negative way sometimes. So, and like the newer building, the SEG unit they put in, for example, that was all computerized, electronic, and that didn't come up without its headaches initially. I remember, you know, there was a malfunction and all the cell doors open, and most of those guys were scared. They're looking like, what's going on here, you know, and but yeah, it depends on like the visiting room, for example, that was a newer one that they added there. You know, it's just a little bit.
Well, you know, the history, you wrote the book on it. And you really did write the book on it called The Reformatory, Tales from Green Bay's Maximum Security Prison, by Joe Vertigan. When we're going to take a quick break, when we come back, I want to talk about some solutions. I want to know if we appointed you, who oversees all the prisons? The guy in Madison, was it?
I don't even know who they have now.
Oh, but
is it Jared Hoy?
Yeah, okay.
Department of Corrections Secretary.
All right. If Joe Vertigan was head of the Department of Corrections, what would you do? All right, think about that. We're going to be right back. You're listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
All right.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
With Jim Schmidt, and we are talking the reformatory of Green Bay, our maximum security prison that's been in the news a lot of chatter going on, and we're here with someone that, you know, we have these politicians kind of weighing in, and you know, that's fine, the media, but Joe Vertigan, who as I said before we went to break, wrote the book called The Reformatory, Tales from Green Bay's Maximum Security Prison, a guard in there for 27 years. And Joe, let's just say, and I'm serious about this. What if I waved the magic wand and you became the director of the Department of Corrections? Some communities embrace prisons.
Waupun sure does. I mean, that's what other industry is there in Waupun? You know what I mean?
Right.
Where in Green Bay, we have more. If I were ever to be the head of the DOC, one of the biggest things I would do, and it's no different than like the federal government passing on control back to the states, I would let the wardens control their prisons. You know, right now they're pretty much hamstrung. The Department of Corrections, they're the puppeteers, and, mm-hmm. and the wardens are essentially the puppets, with a few minor exceptions. That's the number one thing I would do, is give the control back to the wardens of that each respective prison.
Akin to that, I think there's some universities that would like their control, like in Iowa, right?
Where
you run your place.
And, yes.
And I think politically, one could make an argument for a prison.
Yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Do you mean to build a new one, you said?
To have a prison in your community. I mean,
right.
You talked about some of the wages that people make. I mean, it's hard work, and it is dangerous work.
Right.
But, you know, with overtime, with benefits, you could raise a family.
I know 6 of my friends that are blue shirts, which means that's they're either sergeants or officers. I know 6 of them that pounded the overtime out. They're getting near the end of their careers. They made over $200,000 just in salary. I didn't make anything even close to that, although I had other interests going on, so I couldn't pound out a lot of overtime. But if you're like a young single guy, you know, just hit it hard, and you can pay off a house in no time. You know, the downside to that is with the staffing issues and stuff. If you have a young family with kids and you're getting forced to work double shifts, well, that's hard. Then you got to arrange daycare and that kind of thing. Yeah. But boy, I tell you, the wages are there. If you're young and hungry, you can make as much money as you want to.
You making that here, Con? Con's our producer, single guy,
yeah.
smart guy.
Right? I don't know.
I do.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's significant. I want to ask you as your father, I'm assuming, maybe
yes,
grandfather.
7 kids, 14 grandkids.
Wow. Okay. Would you encourage someone, like I teach at NWTC, and
right.
the business classes, I'm not in the public safety sector, but I see kids in there and I'm, you know, I think it can be a great career. I have a lot of admiration. You know, I obviously know Jim Arts really well and
Ernst
and those other guys. But would you encourage someone to take a look at getting in the prison industry?
Boy, I don't know. It's so different than it is now because, you know, even now in like the officers in the SIG unit, for example, they've had to wear body cams similar to police on the streets for years now, which that can be a plus, though, because, you know, if the inmate's alleging X, Y, and Z occurred, well, wait a minute, it's all right here on the camera. So I guess if you're young and single, it's not for the faint-hearted. You got to be very mentally tough than anything. And honestly, the biggest tool we had in there was our verbal skills. I mean, people think we walk around with you know, batons and billy clubs. We don't even have guns inside there. I mean, we just got pepper sprayed the last 4 or 5 years I worked there, but your best skill in that place is your verbal skills. And
wow.
That's it. I mean, seriously, you really have to know how to talk to these guys, and you need to talk them down and de-escalate everything. And because if you've got somebody that escalates quickly, it can go to crap real fast.
I bet.
Oh yeah.
So here at the maximum security prison, I'm trying to get a feel for a guy who knows that probably better than anybody than I've talked to. You think we should close it?
Yeah, you could, but I don't think it's ever going to happen. I mean, it's so entrenched, but the only problem they might have now is this talk of closing it. Are you going to want to get staff to work there? Even if they get into it, they're going to want to go to a Waupun or an Oshkosh or Fox Lake or another prison. Will this, just because they've announced the closing of this in 5 years, will that deter staff from wanting to work there? Now, the way that the Department of Corrections does work as blue shirts, you can transfer after either 6 or 9 months to another prison within the state. So them finding other jobs, the existing staff there, if they did sell it, would not be really an issue. You know?
But they may have to move.
They may, yeah. I did. I started out at Racine the first 14, 15 months before. I was on a waiting list to get to Green Bay for several months. You know, that
we had a waiting list?
Oh, my goodness, for a long time. I mean, people went to Green Bay. Nobody left. It was that good of a job. I mean, it really was. I mean, and when you got a new face, there's a staff member, everybody took notice. And towards the end there, you know, the no access memos were coming out, you know, multiple every week of people that were leaving, quitting. Mm-hmm. They'd quit to go work at Woodman's or 10 Bar, and nothing against Woodman's, but you know what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I mean, I do, yeah.
No, I
hear you.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah.
Well, this is going to be talked about a lot.
Sure.
And I would encourage people to read your book because
right.
I think this, the tales of Green Bay's maximum security prison, and Is there something, a story inside that you is your favorite or?
Oh boy. Well, I get, we got a great party line. I met my wife in prison. Okay. She was an officer. When we go to parties, I go, yeah, I met my wife in prison. We get the eyebrows go up, you know,
yeah.
My wife actually has the jacket quotes on the very back. So, and she's got some great stories in there of just what the links the inmates will go to solicit staff. It's unbelievable stuff.
Well, I'd like to think that that prison served this community well.
Oh, it has. I mean, it really has. And I'm surprised that there weren't more escape attempts. I was there for one escape that they had in 1997 when the two offenders, they escaped for about less than a minute after they made a rope out of dental floss. Yeah, I was there.
I remember that.
And I interviewed the inmate. He tells the story in there how he obtained that. It's unbelievable.
Creative guys.
Yeah. They got time on their hands, right?
Yeah, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I want to get you back here, Joe, because I want to keep on top of this. I think, you know, this show, we talk about what's local, you know, and
right.
There's so much going on in the world and there's a lot of issues going on, good and bad. But I think sometimes we gloss over what's local, and what's local is really what's important.
Oh, I agree 100%.
So we're going to get you back here and talk about this. You know, just thanks for your service of 27 years.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You seem very happy. No regrets.
Well, none at all, because you can't take this job home with you. Luckily, I was deeply involved and still am in motorsports. So
yeah, yeah.
When I got in my car, I got on my cell phone and I had calls all to right. make. So
Joe Vertigan, Green Bay Correctional Institute. 27-year guard, thanks for coming in and sharing your thoughts with us. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.